Every time I see that foot in the face, man, it just hurts. It's subtle. Maybe you noticed it. It's subtle in the way that it's something we all struggle with. It's something we've all experienced. And we're going to call it subtle pride. Because it's not like what we might think of as pride. I mean, it's not like you stand there with your chest stuck out as if you are great and as you have all this great capacity and skill and you're a wonderful, incredible person with all these great talents and abilities. But it's subtle. Subtle pride says, I've got this. I can do this. I don't need your help and I don't want your help. If I want it done right, I'm going to do it. How? By myself. I've got it. And what happens with subtle pride is that we miss the opportunity to share responsibility, to give others an opportunity, and ultimately to burn ourselves out when we exercise subtle pride. You may wonder, why are we talking about pride? Why are we talking about subtle pride? Over these weeks, I want for us to talk about what I would call leading from the inside. For the leader, it's about leading from the heart. And the reason why this stuff is so essential, so important, is because that each one of us is a leader. Each one of us is a leader in some capacity. We may have a title, we may not, but we all carry influence and we all exert influence on someone, someone's, or something. We are all influencers. And what happens with subtle pride is that subtle pride moves in and it actually affects the way in which we lead. In other words, when subtle pride moves in, humility moves out. When humility moves out, we no longer are listening to God for our direction. We're no longer interested in what perhaps God has for us to do because we've got this. We can handle this. We can take care of this. We can get this done ourselves. Me, myself, and I, because I want it done right. I think about Hopper. I think that's the greatest illustration. Here's a guy that gets kicked in the face. Well, maybe you've not literally been kicked in the face, but you've been spiritually kicked in the face, maybe. And yet, because you feel you have the right, I'm going to take care of this. I got this. We jeopardize the effectiveness of our team. We jeopardize the success of our ambitions. All because we're going to take care of this. Now, what does subtle pride look like? Subtle pride is the mindset that I don't need anyone else. Maybe we ought to define pride in the example of subtle pride. See, pride is this conscious belief that I am more than I am. It's this idea that I am more important or superior than I really am. And what's interesting is that Scripture speaks to us about pride and the challenges that pride brings. For example, pride is deceitful and pride is destructive. When we talk about pride is deceitful, I think about Paul in Galatians 6:3 that says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." The idea of deceit is literally this idea of being misled. It's kind of like when pride steps in and humility moves out, and this subtle pride begins to take control, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take care of it all by myself. All of a sudden, I deceive myself, I mislead myself about my capacities, my ability, and my direction. For some reason, I believe something about myself that isn't true. So pride is deceitful, but pride also is destructive. We read in Proverbs 16:18 that says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. It's at one's height that someone falls in pride. It collapses. And maybe Paul says it best in Romans 12:16, where he says, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. But then he says, never be wise in your own sight. That's like a bumper sticker where I can read it, where you can read it. Never be wise. Never think more of yourself in your own sight. Pride. I want to share with you a story about a guy that struggled with subtle pride. He's a guy just like many of us. He's a normal person. He has his own gifts and talents. He has his own abilities, but he also has this self-esteem issue. He also worries about his capacities and his abilities, but somehow he's found himself through a few successes, and now he finds himself in a place where he is exercising subtle pride. Humility has kind of gone outside the window, and it is impacting everybody that he's around. His name is Moses. Now, Moses is not a guy that sticks his chest out and talks about, yes, I parted the Red Sea and I've done all these great things. Because he knows it's God. But yet he finds himself in a situation where it's he and he alone, and he so desperately needs to share the responsibility. We all can relate. In fact, when you pick up the story in Exodus 18, you'll find that Zipporah, Moses' wife and kids, have been to see dad, Jethro. And they're coming back to see Moses, and the father-in-law is coming for a visit with his son. Oh, how exciting is this? He wants to spend some time. What's great about the first 12 verses of chapter 18 of the story is that when Jethro arrives and Moses and he have a conversation, Moses tells him all the incredible, awesome things that God has done in his life and in the Israelites' life. I mean, it is so cool to hear all the stories. In fact, Jethro is so excited about what he's heard God do in Moses and the Israelites' life, he offers a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering to the Lord because he recognizes that God is the only God. He is far above every god. And so there's a point in this story where Jethro really gets excited about this God that Moses is following. That's cool. But then they all have dinner, go to bed, wake up the next morning, and it becomes bring your father-in-law to work day the next morning. And so you pick up the story in verse 13 of chapter 18. Of this, bring your father-in-law to work. And if you read it in verse 13, it says, the next day Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? And all the people stand around you from morning till evening. And Moses responds to his father-in-law, well, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and His laws. Moses' father-in-law says to him, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now, how many of you ever heard your father-in-law say this to you? Now obey my voice. He's got some wisdom here. And it's not like he has the upper hand. He's just made an observation. And so he says, these are some things. He says, I want to give you some advice. And God be with you, for you shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes of the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the peoples, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every matter that shall bring, they shall bring to you, but every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will endure, and the people will go to their places in peace. And so Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did what he said. Do you get the picture? Here's Moses and sitting in judge of the people. They're coming to him with all kinds of inquiries about the disputes that are at hand. And what's happening is Moses is having to hear one story and then another story and make a determination in the story and somehow espouse the word of God in that particular situation and making application of it and then sending them on their way. Now think for yourself. We're not talking about one family, one dispute. But we're talking hundreds. And so people are backed up in this long line waiting to literally allow Moses to hear their dispute. Now you thought standing in line at Christmas time waiting to get your kid's picture with Santa Claus was bad? This is phenomenal. We're talking hours. People would stand and sit waiting. And isn't it funny how exhausting waiting is versus actually sometimes doing? And so the people were literally wiped out from the waiting. And there's Jethro that sees this, he observes this. And what's interesting is Moses is so ingrained in what's going on, he doesn't even notice it, he doesn't even see it. But Moses has subtle pride. And so in his subtle pride, he is doing it all by himself. And this is where it gets interesting. Because you have to see Jethro's inquiry of Moses. He asks him two questions. The first question he asks is, what are you doing? And why are you doing it alone? What is it you're doing, and why are you doing it alone? And when he asked him, what are you doing, Moses' response, and I almost interpret it as Moses responding with some sort of defensive mechanism in play, that they come to me, and I'm the one, and I do this, but they come to me, and it's all about me and I. And then that's when Jethro asks, why do you do it alone? Why do you do that alone? And then he goes, after he's asked those questions, he gives him some advice. Jethro's advice is this in verse 17. He says, this is not good. What you're doing is not good. The word good really translates to value. In other words, what you are doing does not have value or merit. Boy, isn't that what you like to hear when you're working yourself to death? Well, what you do doesn't have any value. Exactly what Moses heard. And he says to him, he says that you will wear down yourself. The idea is that you will burn out and that you will cause others to crumble. You are not able to do this alone because the task is too big for you. What are you doing? Why are you doing it alone? This is not good. You are going to burn out and you're going to hurt others in the process because you are not able to do this alone, for the task is too big for you. I want you to hear something this morning. There is no badge of honor in burning out. Hear me. There is no badge of honor in burning out. I know that there are some people in this room, you're struggling this morning with subtle pride. I mean, it's like that at the office when you go to work and they keep laying more and more stuff on your desk because you keep doing more and more and you're there later and later and later and you say, oh, but it's my job and I have to do this, but it's more and more. While the guy three cubes around the corner from you is laughing because he's got a two-hour lunch because he gave you his project. And you did it and you smiled. I'll do it. I'll get it taken care of. And what about those community clubs and those organizations that are outside of our house that we participate and do with? You know what's so funny is we have learned to say the worst word in the English language. See, y'all know it already. Yes. Sometimes I think the word yes is more detrimental to an individual than the word no. In fact, sometimes the word no is the best word you can use. And you get in these meetings. I mean, I've been in these meetings. I know you've been in these meetings. They all look around. Well, who's going to take care of the barbecue dinner? Nobody's hand goes up. And then you're like, I'll do it. The idea is that you'll take care of it, you'll get it done, it'll be done right because you'll do it. And they need something for the Christmas raffle, why not? You know, we're Baptists, we'll raffle, maybe not, but anyhow. And they need somebody to do the tickets. I'll do it. And what about home? I mean, how many of us have gone home, walked in the house? The house is a mess, the yard looks bad, the garage is dirty, the car is dirty, everything. And you know, and you tell yourself, you know, I'm just going to do it to rescue myself from the drama. Now, I'm sure nobody in this room has any drama at home. But just as a pastor, I want to tell you, we have drama in our house, and it's okay. You know what? I want to do like a reality show for somebody. You know, this is real life drama. You know, it's just the way life is. There's drama in life. I'm just going to do it just to save the drama. You know what? You need to say no. You need to share the responsibility and maybe have a little drama in the time. But the reality is, God's speaking to you today. Because for somebody in this room and some people in this room, subtle pride has a hold of you. And you have so much on your plate and so much is happening, so much is going on, and you feel as though you're drowning. The water is lapping against the bottom of your nostrils. Because life is so full and you're doing it all by yourself. Let me repeat this. There is no badge of honor in burnout. It's important that we learn to practice humility and shared responsibility. It's important that we learn to simply say, I can't do this myself. I can't do this all on my own. I need help. Let's all say that together right now. Can we say that all together? I need help. Now say it like you really need it. I need help. Yeah, it's not too bad, is it? You can say that. See, When Jethro engaged Moses in the conversation, he asked him a couple of questions. He made some observations. But then he gave him some advice. These are the steps that Jethro gave Moses. You find them in verse 19 through verse 22, where he says, Moses, I want for you to look. The idea is to dream or to find able men that fear God and are trustworthy. He said, what I want for you to do is, because you're not going to survive this, it's going to take you under. It's not good for you. It's not productive. It is not achieving the goal that you want to achieve. You are not effective under this load. You need space. I want you to find able men that love God and they're trustworthy. You know what I love about the word able? It's really the best translation for the word able would be willing. The idea that you would find willing men. And this is not about finding people with this great long resume or these great skills and abilities, or they've proven themselves or these talents or all this other stuff. The idea is just find somebody that's willing. Find somebody that's willing, that loves God and that is trustworthy. That's it. Those were the only qualifications that Jethro put on Moses in his advice. Find these men. And assign them duties. Assign them partnership. Share the responsibility that is out there, that it can be done well and that it can be done effectively. Find able-bodied men. But notice this, that there's a promise. There's an incredible promise that Jethro gives Moses, and there are several pieces to this promise. But he says in verse 20, the last part of verse 22, this will be easier for you and they will bear the burden for you. The result of sharing responsibility, practicing humility, not having to do it all on yourself, the idea of sharing the load and sharing the burden will lighten your load. It will be easier for you and they will bear the burden with you. There will be those around you that will be able to lift you up and lift the burden up. But if you do this, verse 23, if you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure or remain, and people will go to their place in peace. Now, I love this phrase that God will direct you. Because this I know that happens when somebody practices subtle pride. When somebody practices subtle pride and takes on multiple things and does them all on their own without sharing the responsibility for the load, all of a sudden their plate is so full. The reality is what we're telling God and we're telling others is that we have the capacity, we have the strength, we have the ability, we're going to get it done, we can handle it ourselves, I don't need your help. And not only do you tell that to the friends around you, but you're telling that to God. That's what it boils down to. It is when we practice subtle pride that we literally push the mute button on God, because we do not make ourselves available to listen. See, the idea of God will direct you is that God will speak to you, that God will talk to you, that God will give you direction in life. And the idea is because your life is not so full of clamor, that because your life is not so full of stuff, because your life is not so busy of trying to do it all your own, because you have replaced subtle pride with humility, that you are now seeking help, not only from others, but you're seeking it from God. So you're putting yourself in a place where you can listen to Him. That's powerful. We all need to hear Him. Period. And so the idea of God directing you, of hearing His voice and His leadership, that you will be able to remain and that you will be able to endure, and that people will go to their place in peace. Are you struggling with subtle pride? Can you relate to Moses standing there in judgment and everybody coming to him, wearing yourself out and wearing those around you out? I've often thought, hey, if you're tired, think about the people around you. They're exhausted. If that's you, I want to encourage you this morning to simply ask for help. All of a sudden, when you ask for help, you are exchanging subtle pride for humility. And what happens is humility sees others. Humility asks for help. Humility says, I don't have to do it all, that I can share. Humility says, I don't have to get all the credit. Humility says, I don't always have to be in charge. It's okay. Subtle pride, humility. Remove the subtle pride and replace it with humility by asking for help. Why is humility so essential? Because humility affects everything. Humility affects the way in which we lead. For the most effective leaders lead out of humility because they lead from the inside. And when we lead out of humility, our hearts begin to listen to God, and listening to God rather than one's own passions or one's own pursuit. Humble leadership empowers rather than strangles. Humility. God desires for us to be the most effective influencer that we can be, and effective influencing begins with humility. I don't know a lot of people that, as I've described before, stick out their chest and talk about how wonderful and how great they are and how great all that, you know. I don't know a lot of people like that. But I do know people that want to do it all by themselves and think they have to. And that if it's going to be done right, that they've got to do it. And that they don't need any help because they got this. All the while, I can see in their life that they're drowning. But they won't ask for help. Do not be a burnout casualty, but learn to lead from the inside and lead from humility. For that will be the most beginning of the most effective work you will do as you ask for help. You know, Jesus has said that we are to be salt and light. That we are to share the gospel both in word and in deed. That we are to shed light and to give light, and that we are to preserve, and that we are to season. It begins with humility. So let us learn to share responsibility. Let us learn to ask for help. Let us learn not to be people that have to do it all by ourselves. Let us be most effective. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, I thank you for the example of Moses and this idea of the inside. Lord, sometimes we get so boggled up with the doing that we forget about the significance of the being. And so oftentimes we think about leading and influencing in our lives as about doing stuff. But Father, help us to know it's about being. It's about being still enough and quiet enough. It's about being slow enough to hear you and to know your direction in life. Father, I recognize that today that there are people in this room that right now they are almost to the point of being underwater. And so would you help them to simply mouth those words, I need help. That as they exchange subtle pride for humility, that they'll begin to hear you. Father, our desire is to be the most effective influencers for the gospel in Mechanicsville and beyond. And we know we can't do it by ourselves. So help us to practice sharing. Sharing responsibility and be good with it. Why? Because Jesus, you're honored in that. You're glorified in that. And I ultimately think that people will be drawn to it. Jesus, we love you. Speak today. For it's in your name that we ask. Amen. This morning, a time of invitation is really to invite you to step out of where you are at the moment. Maybe you're struggling with doing it all on your own. You think you've got a grip on life, but at times things seem to slip through. The most important thing is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have chosen to become a Christ follower. You've made the decision to follow Christ. I want to invite you today. If you have never chosen to follow Christ, that today would be the day that you would choose to embrace Christ and all that He has for you. Because in Jesus there is forgiveness, in Jesus there is peace, in Jesus there is hope, there's future, there's eternity. That when we come to Christ and when we repent and when we follow Him and choose to follow Him, receive His gift of salvation, His grace, there's a new chapter that begins in life. So today I would encourage you to turn the page to the new chapter and trust and place your faith in Christ today. Perhaps God's speaking to you about being in community and being a part of a local church family. I invite you to come this morning. Same thing, we'll be standing and singing and an opportunity for you to respond, to step out from where you're standing, meet me here in the front, and simply say, today I'm choosing to be a part of the Cool Spring family. That God's leading me to be a part of this church family. We need community. And that's so important for all believers, for all Christians, that you know community, that you're in community, that you're a part of a group of body of believers. And so we invite you to come today. But maybe you're drowning this morning and you don't even know where to begin to ask for help. I'm going to ask you to come forward this morning. And we want to pray with you. That you would take the first step to asking for help. And instead of leading out of self and influencing out of self, that you would influence and lead out of humility, being directed by Christ. Because that's about leading from the inside. That's about leading in a way that honors Christ. But we want to pray with you this morning. Okay, say with me, nobody drowns today. You ready? Nobody drowns today. You come. We'll pray with you and encourage you. So Dave, would you lead us today? You stand with us, sing, you come.